Gary Doyle Show.
Okay. Enough with the text and the emails, okay? I got it wrong. I referred to Cecil the lion as Cecil the tiger. My apologies. I was wrong. Stop. Jesus, God almighty. Totally missing the whole point of what I was talking about, Jose, because I said Cecil the lion instead of the Cecil the tiger. Or Cecil the lion. Whatever I said, I got it wrong. There. My apologies. Front page here on the Gary Doyle Show. Joining us on the program, Anita Finley, author, actress, blogger, Epoch Times contributor, co-host of the video series at Epoch Times, Dare We Say, with Shaun of Virtue. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, spending 4 months in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita Finley, be my Calgon. Take me away.
Oh, I'm always happy to take you away. I wish you could have joined us up in Yosemite. We were climbing around in the mountains. It was just glorious last week.
Hiking?
We did some hiking. Yes, we did. I mean, we were not hiking fools. We did a little of everything. But yes, we did hike.
I didn't get to connect with you down at Comic-Con. You and your husband went down there. Were you down there for like 3 or 4 days of that craziness?
We were down there for about 3 days. I wanted to experience, I just had to experience the sea of humanity. Shauna and I actually even did a piece on the lure of Comic-Con, which was really a lot of fun. And I was pleasantly surprised. It is so not my cup of tea. I don't like crowds. I'm rather claustrophobic around a lot of people. But, I never heard more people saying, excuse me, please, thank you, may I. You know, it was really, for the most part, a lovely group. And it was educational to me. So, you know, we may go again.
I love people watching, whether it's at an airport. I just don't like being in the mosh pit of humanity and insanity. And to me, it was like the fall of Saigon meets a Chinese fire drill with Japanese at the wheel. It was just so many people there. They say anywhere between like 160,000 and 200,000 people. And, you know, when you get caught at that trolley crossing, when you're trying to go from downtown San Diego over to the convention center or coming back right. The other way, I'm like standing in the crowd going, you pass on the right, okay? Everyone pass on the right, and the people going the other way would be passing on my left. It was just...
Jerry, you're entirely too controlling. Forget it.
I understand.
Let God. I mean, these people were so polite, I have to say. They really were. I was very impressed in a crowd like that, that people were just lovely. I mean, they just not...
They were. I know.
That they could
no,
do
that
it,
was...
So.
It was nice. Would you say let go and let God? God made
me
OCD.
Never heard this expression?
No, I didn't until now. But he's the one who created this psycho known as Gary Doyle, who's functioning OCD. I didn't come out of the womb saying to the doctors, place a little messy. You might want to clean it up a little bit. Maybe I did. I don't know. I'm not exactly
sure.
I'm sure
you did. If I know you, I bet you did. I bet you had a whole list with a critique and telling everybody where to go and how to fix it.
It's just life in an orphanage. I bet you it was a Catholic orphanage that I was in. So I'm guessing that it was rather rigid and controlled. So I can't say that it was a messy environment that caused my OCD to manifest itself to the degree that it does today. However, let's move on to what your latest piece at Epoch Times is about. You say the New York Times owes a front page apology to Hillary Clinton for why?
Well, basically, for getting a story entirely wrong, putting up very damaging headlines, saying that there's a criminal investigation that has been started about her. This is a total fiction, basically, and they're doing some sort of, you know, bureaucratic back and forth about who gets what email, and it has really very little to do with her. And the New York Times just, I don't know if they let somebody whisper in their ear to put this up, but this is something, this has become something of a vendetta. I've reported this before. I've put up several pieces at Epoch Times that I encourage people to read, and, you know, just laid out the case for how they put up a headline and faulty reporting in the first 10 paragraphs, and then when you keep reading on, you get to the truth of it. I can't say that I know can see into the hearts of minds of why they're doing it, but clearly when you have everybody from Rachel Maddow of MSNBC, not a Hillary fan, you have Fox News, you have Washington Post, you have Newsweek, all ripping the New York Times apart for the biggest journalistic blunder since what? They got us into the Iraq War? I mean, people look at them as the people of record. I always look at them as a paper of record, rather. But it was just so deeply disappointing to me that this is the way that they treat her, with the most egregious disrespect. And they, you know, give a pass to so many other people, and they're not focusing on the issues that she's talking about. It's really disgusting.
But when you take a look at the New York Times, which, you know, you are a former Democrat, now independent. I'm a former Republican, now independent. The New York Times, I think most people would agree, is a left-of-center organization.
Well, that's debatable, Jerry. You have to, you know what? I thought that I could agree with you on that, but I'm not so sure anymore. I think we have to go a step further and do what I like to do, is follow the money. Now, maybe you have more access than I do in this regard, but I really have to ask myself, who is pulling the strings? I mean, remember that Judith Miller's reportage was something that also pushed us into the Iraq War. Would you say that a liberal paper would do something like that? So I'm not sure that we can classify them as one side or the other. They may give the appearance of being what you say, but you know, based on how they bash Hillary all the time, I don't know that I buy that.
Yeah, I think in today's day and age, Anita, you got to follow the money. And I think if you follow the money, you'll pretty much come to understand why what's being done that shouldn't be done is, and what needs to be done isn't getting done. But, you know, I would think traditionally you would think that if it had to be a choice, and again, this might take some deeper analysis, but if you take a look at when you take a look at if the New York Times had to choose today between Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton, I think most people would think that they were going to go with Hillary Clinton. But you seem to think that there is a harsher tone that they take with her. But why her?
There is no question. Look, you know what they reported about Jeb Bush? His Tesla, you know, brochures and yoga mats. His faith and his this. These are the kinds of softball reporting. This man broke campaign finance law, did he not? With the, you know, interacting with his super PAC. I don't see the kind of outrage that I see directed toward her. I don't see that. Scott Walker, he's got problems in his own state. I don't see the kind of investigative digging and outrage. I don't see the sort of breathless scandal mongering when they actually may have some stuff under the rug that should see the light of day. I don't see that. I don't see in comparison. You know, she, I think, would be the biggest head on a pike that they could possibly get. So whether it's the idea of bagging, you know, as you say, the biggest lion, I mean, that this is their sense, I'm not sure what it is. In fact, in my latest piece, I sort of question that. You know, my thing is, the New York Times has been hateful to the Clintons back since the early 90s. So do you think, I'll pose this to you, do you think it was the sort of an elitist thing, like Sally Quinn of the Washington Post saying, "Not our kind, dear," because Bill Clinton was poor, Hillary middle class, and, you know, they came out of Arkansas. Somebody said to me when he first was elected, "Oh, look, the Clampets take the White House." And, I mean, these are two of the most brilliant thinkers, clearly. But, you know, people have, and there are some people with an elitist bent, and I wonder if there are certain figures in the Beltway who do that. They're sort of incestuous, and they just have their own personal think tank that is somewhat divorced from the rest of us out here on the ground. But as I have said, and you have said, follow the money. You know, I think that's what you have to look at. So let me take follow the money one step further, if I may.
Sure.
If you look at how the media rips her apart, and then you just forget about all the talking points, forget what the friends say, forget what anybody says, and look at her actual record. Another piece I linked up to in my latest on Epic Times is called Redneck Infantrymen for Hillary. And it's a really funny short piece that's in the Huffington Post, and a military guy was writing about it saying, gee, you know, when she was a New York senator, she helped out the guys at Fort Drum, and they knew her very well, and they helped to get her elected, because when the cameras were not rolling, she was the one who was there for them. Same thing after 9/11 with the first responders. She saw how those guys were getting sick, and she's the one who showed up to help make sure they got the health care that they needed, and 25,000 of them came out to endorse her in 2008. If you look at her actual record, you hear story after story like this. So let me conflate two things. Here you have follow the money. They always give her a hard time in the media, and meanwhile her real record is someone who actually helps people. So I put it to you that maybe they don't want to see elected somebody who's actually going to help people. So maybe we shouldn't listen to the media, and maybe we should just actually listen to each candidate when they're out there and see what they each have to say and see who makes the most sense.
That's a sensible way to look at things, obviously, but that certainly doesn't seem to be a lot of the ways things are done today. You know, when I take a look at journalism today, and I can take a look at Rolling Stone's bogus rape story, I could take a look at MSNBC's pillaring of Chris Christie with the George Washington Bridgegate, where they went out of their way to make him guilty, even though four separate investigations have proved that he had no knowledge of that. So when I take a look at the media today, Anita, one of the things that strikes me about it is what I saw in Hollywood towards the end of my run there, is that vertical integration in Hollywood, to a certain degree, stifled creativity, where you had this monolith that controlled maybe 8, 10, 12 different digital distribution and movie distribution, television distribution, print distribution. But it was basically the same story or the same through line was being told, although you saw it from 8, 10, 12 different places. So you assumed that that must be the story. That must be what is actually happening. And to a certain degree, I think the lack of competition and the vertical integration has stifled creativity to a degree. Now, when I see the same thing in the media, where you have the roll-ups, where you have these monoliths of left and right, I think to a very large degree that it has stifled objectivity. And we don't necessarily get the news. We get what they want us to think the news is to fit whatever corporate chieftain, corporate entity, corporate overlord wants the world to be or how they want the story to be.
I think that's a fabulous point, and I certainly agree with that. And you know, my work as a media critic, I mean, I'm the first one to agree with you there. But, you know, you and I have talked before about how social media is changing the equation. Now, I want you to, your listeners, to remember that this bogus story came out about Hillary. It was like Thursday night, Friday morning, literally by Friday night. Over the weekend, I mean, I was still on vacation, and I saw this on my Twitter feed, that they were being ripped to shreds within a day, because people have the ability to do the research, to track it down. They took it apart, and these people are really on the spit. I mean, they look like a laughingstock in news organizations around the nation. So,
yeah, but
you know, this would not have been true 20 years ago.
No.
So, you know, here's my pitch for optimism in terms of, you know, my belief in the American people. I refuse to go down without a fight. I refuse to say, oh, just because the media is monolithic, because you're right about that, Jerry, and just because they're doing that doesn't mean I have to surrender, and it doesn't mean you have to surrender.
No, but to me, it's like almost today in the media, it's we speculate, you decide. Like, they leave it up to us to do their work. But unfortunately, a lot of people have very busy lives, and a lot of people are news snacking instead of news gorging. And so they'll see the headline that says Hillary Clinton indicted in criminal investigation over emails at State Department. And they go, oh, yep. And then the people who are Hillary supporters say, oh, that's a bunch of crap. And the people who don't like her are going to say, I knew it. And then everyone moves forward. But then they start to change this, whether it's in the print edition, and then they start to change it online. And then 4 days later, then they come out and say, well, she's not even named in this investigation anymore. But then people don't get that. They don't see that. They just see the initial splash headline. And it's the same thing with Rolling Stone. It's the same thing with Chris Christie. It's just, it seems media today is trying to be the first, and unfortunately, sometimes we get the worst in their attempt to be the first.
Well, and the thing is that, yeah, you're absolutely right. They didn't even bother to fact check if indeed that's what they meant to do, and I will give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm trying desperately to give them the benefit of the doubt that they didn't mean intentionally. But, you know, at a certain point, you know, I had written a piece previously saying the New York Times has a vendetta out for her, because if you look at, they were writing a story that said something positive, but they put a deliberately negative headline that said exactly the opposite. You can't read stories like this over and over and over again and not assume that somebody doesn't have some deliberate bent and you don't have it out for that person. And so look at the damage. Then they do poll after poll after poll. Oh, look, she's untrustworthy. No, she is not untrustworthy. You're putting up crap about her that it is untrustworthy and making people buy this when they read what you say they read, which is just the headline, and they don't do any investigating because they're trying to keep the roof over their head. They don't have time. So mission accomplished, right?
You know, yeah, but a lot,
then you have the more suspicious people complaining. Well, is it any wonder why?
No, and you know, when I first started radio 10 years ago, my first T-shirt said question everything. Because that's how I look at the media today. You know, question everything. Who's saying what for what reason? Who's telling that person to say that? Why does that person think that, say that, do that? And then you have to follow the money, and then you start to unravel the spaghetti, and you say, okay, there's an end, and I can grab that, and I can start to then follow the path to get me to where it is that I should be. But a lot of people don't have the time to do that. You and I do. We have the luxury of doing that because we like doing it, and it's part of our job. But it does a disservice to everyone out there who's trying to stay as informed as possible to make the right decisions. But it seems as if in this roll-up, in this vertical integration where there's been a much greater consolidation of power by fewer and fewer people affecting so many more people and influencing so many more people, that you got to be really careful about what it is, you know, what hook it is that you bite and get stuck on, because it might not be the right one. And that's an unfortunate place we find ourselves in, what used to be known as news in America. And all we can do is just keep doing what we do, Anita, which is...
Absolutely. And you know what? Suspicion is healthy. So I can only hope that your listener... No, it's true. I'm a suspicious New Yorker. I can only hope that listeners just go out and listen to each candidate. You have an opportunity like never before to really hear it from the horse's mouth, as it were, and hear it from the person, from the man, from the woman, hear it from whoever. And then you can make a decision. Look at their record. You know, you'd be better spent looking up their record than listening to the drivel that comes to you from a lot of mainstream news today. And I think then you'll make a much better and happier decision.
Well stated. Well written. The New York Times owes a front page apology to Hillary Clinton, courtesy of our guest Anita Finley. You can get it at epictimes.com. Don't forget her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 4 months number one position, Amazon's Women in Politics list. Thanks, Anita. Look forward to your next posting and talking to you again.
Anytime, Jerry. So great to be back with you. Thank you so much.
The Jerry Doyle Show.